let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us now is Brian Riedel. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Brian, good morning. Thank you for joining us on Mornings on the Mall.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about this tax bill. When I went to bed last night, I thought, yay, we've got it. We're going to be great. We're going to have a tax reform. And then I woke up this morning and thought, yeah, maybe not. now it looks like they're going to be pushing this back to 11 o'clock this morning. Do you see this by the end of the day having a tax bill?
I think it's about a 50-50 shot. The difference between the tax bill and the health care bill is I think most Republicans want to get to yes on this bill. I think the holdouts are trying to find a solution in good faith. And so I would assume, you know, Senators Corker and Flake, who are right now kind of pushing some of the opposition, I think will probably get there. But I've been wrong before, so don't quote me on that.
What are the holdups? I mean, what are the things that the senators are getting hung up on this morning, and sort of what are the danger zones as they negotiate the final stages?
Well, a lot of the issues right now is the deficits. The dynamic score came in yesterday, which incorporates the growth revenues, and it showed that economic growth would cut the cost from about $1.5 trillion over 10 years to $1 trillion over 10 years. And Senator Corker and Senator Flake and others believe that cost is too high. They were hoping the dynamic score would recuperate more of the cost. And so they're looking for ways to cut the cost down. And there's other issues, right? Senator Rubio and Lee are looking to expand the child credit, possibly by weakening the corporate tax rate cut. And so there's a lot of balls in the air right now.
You know, we keep hearing about the deficit, and I understand that Republicans are going to be much more concerned about the deficit, which is, I think, very responsible. However, there was a letter sent by over 100 economists that said, pass the bill, it was sent to Congress, said, pass this bill because even 0.4% of growth will wipe out any deficit concerns. Are they taking that seriously, or is that just not something they're willing to gamble on?
Well, I think the deficit concerns are real. I think it's unlikely that this bill will pay for itself in growth. I think you will get growth revenues. I don't think it'll pay for itself. At the same time, I think we do need to put the deficit numbers in perspective. You know, the base, if this runs a $1 trillion deficit over 10 years, that's the difference between a $10 trillion deficit and an $11 trillion deficit. So it's not like this bill is going to single-handedly create a debt crisis. Basically, we have an $82 trillion Social Security and Medicare deficit over the next 30 years. That's what's going to drive the debt crisis. $1 trillion in tax cuts is a rounding error compared to the deficit we're facing in those programs.
Right.
Now, it's still okay to oppose the bill and say, I don't want to add a dollar in deficits if that's the problem. But again, some perspective is important.
Right, and the president is expecting to take on entitlements next year. With that, at least that's the plan. You look at the kind of the growth estimates. I wonder how much this year's growth plays into the consideration because, you know, the third quarter was just revised upwards to 3.3% GDP growth. Is that the type of thing that we can expect to be sustained? And if so, why isn't that the way that these are being scored?
It's tough to sustain 3.3% growth long term without some structural changes in the economy. I think right now it's a positive development. I wouldn't assume that it's the trend line right now, but, you know, if we get some, if we get good tax reform, if we actually bring the corporate tax code into the 21st century, we could definitely get more growth than the 2% rate we had under President Obama, where people were getting excited about 1.9 and 2.0. We can definitely get closer to 3 if we do this right.
Well, getting the corporate tax rate right is obviously a big part of that, as you said. There's been conversations over the last few days about building in some triggers. If the economic growth is not quite where it needs to be, that taxes would then go up. For a lot of people, that seems insane. If the economy's slow, taxes will go up. And also, we're offering businesses uncertainty that they don't know if their tax bill is going to go up in future years. What's the status of that plan?
Well, it turns out they can't do the trigger because the parliamentarian ruled that a reconciliation bill does not have the jurisdiction to do the tax trigger. And your opposition to it is exactly right. First off, revenues could underperform for a lot of reasons, like a recession, and you would not respond to a recession by automatically raising taxes. That's the dumbest thing possible. Second, as you say, you can't have the tax rates jumping up and down every year based on the economy. You need some stability and predictability. I sympathize with the idea that we want to build in a fail-safe on deficits, but I think the tax trigger is a pretty clueless way to do it.
You know, we've talked before with people like Larry Kudlow, who's been advising the White House on taxes, and he's got a rare idea, and I haven't heard a lot of other people enunciate it, which is the parliamentarian can be ignored. Mike Pence is capable of overruling the parliamentarian's judgment on reconciliation. Do you have any indication that the White House would even do something like that if they came within spitting distance of being able to pass this?
You know, that reminds me of when Bob Dole was majority leader in the Senate, he fired the parliamentarian and basically wouldn't hire a new one until he got assurance that parliamentarian would rule in his favor. I haven't seen any indication of that. Frankly, that seems something that I wouldn't be surprised in certain instances if Republicans did that, because, you know, I think it's the kind of thing Democrats would do. But, you know, I don't think Republicans are there yet, but if the parliamentarian is wrong, I have no problem overruling the parliamentarian in that instance.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. So the White House has an ace in the hole. That's all we're saying.
They do. I mean, this is a card they could play, and frankly, politically, people in, you know, a voter in Kansas isn't going to care about the parliamentarian being overruled. They're going to care that they got a tax cut.
Right. Brian Riedel, thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.